Welcome to this Touch podcast activity, which has been recorded for Touch Immunology. This podcast aims to bring you expert perspectives from a multidisciplinary team on strategies for the management of severe pediatric asthma. Four clinical specialists and the parent of a child with severe asthma share their perspectives on the importance of the multidisciplinary team for the diagnosis and management of severe pediatric asthma, with a focus on supporting patients and their families in the clinical setting and in daily life. This activity is funded by an independent medical education grant from Sanofi and Regeneron Pharmaceuticals. This activity is jointly provided by USF Health and Touch IME. In this podcast, a primary care physician is joined by a pediatric immunologist, a pediatric asthma nurse specialist, and the parent of a child with severe asthma to discuss multidisciplinary strategies to support families of children with severe asthma to maximize long-term treatment outcomes.
So, hello, my name is Dr. Ioana Tsiligiani, and I am an associate professor in general practice and public health at the University of Crete, Greece. And today I'm joined by Dr. Vanda Papatanikoul, the director of the Division of Immunology Research Center at Boston's Children's Hospital and professor of pediatrics at Harvard Medical School in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. And also Ms. Steve Marsh, pediatric asthma nurse specialist and asthma clinical lead in the Black Country, West Midlands, UK, and Ms. Monique Cooper, the parent of a child with severe asthma from Miami, Florida, USA. In this section, we will be discussing how we can best support families to optimize patients' outcomes. So the first question to you, Vanda, is how do you think we could overcome barriers to adherence, and which do you think are the factors that influence adherence to biologic therapy, and how do you think we could address them? What's your experience in that?
Yeah, those are great questions. Adherence is such a major factor when it comes to difficult to control asthma. And there are several factors involved in that. First of all, the complexity with the inhaled medications really can be daunting to the patients. Which one is my rescue medication? Am I using this properly? Which one do I use when I'm having an asthma attack? All the different colors. And so that can make it very difficult. Then there are pills. Then there are different kind of frequencies that you use them. That can all factor into adherence. And then patients often have the perception that I'm going to get bad side effects from steroids. I want to stay for them, so I don't want to take them nearly as much. So that's one of the factors. And then as their asthma gets worse and we start thinking about biologic therapy, because that's currently more approved for the more severe asthma patients, then there's the fear of safety and injections and do I come into the clinic and do I have to do them at home? So all of these are important factors that I think we as providers who care for these patients have to really have a strong discussion, you know, a shared decision-making between the patients and the parents and the caregivers in what the therapy is, how does it work, what is your asthma action plan, and how does that intersect with your potentially every 2 to 4 week or 8 week shots, depending on what you're doing. And so education and really having a good dialogue with all of the caregivers in the patient's care and the child's care, including home, school, and community, I think are some of the key things in trying to overcome barriers to adherence, which is very difficult, as you mentioned in the past.
Thank you. I think from the primary care point of view before I moved to Miss Mars is one other factor that I found very crucial is the accessibility of care. So, for example, biologics are not available in my country in the primary care field. And this is really challenging sometimes to be able to take the patients to travel to other facilities in order to do that. And also health literacy is really important because sometimes the parents don't have the health literacy required to realize the risk, at least for their children. So I think we need a lot of elaboration in that field. So Ms. Mars, what's your view on that in the same question about the factors that influence adherence and how do you think you could improve that?
Well, I think really just to add and to build on what Wanda and yourself, Iona, have been saying is accessibility is a real problem. So in the UK, children with severe asthma on biologics are managed primarily in the tertiary care centre. We don't have many of those in the UK. And one of the things that we do have that we're quite strong on is shared care arrangements with our between our tertiary care centres and our secondary care centres. So very often families can alternate their visits to the hospital between the tertiary care centre, which for many families might be 50 or 60 miles away with their more local hospital. And then, of course, obviously, if they have specialist nurses, they get very involved in coordinating the care. I work in an area of the UK which has very high rates of poverty and ethnicity. We are severely affected by health inequalities, and the cost of travelling to appointments at tertiary care centres is a huge barrier.
And Ms. Cooper-Monique, which was the main factor that influenced the adherence to the biologic therapy for your family? And what could be done differently, let's say?
Well, here where I'm located, the main factor probably as far as with my son getting the biologic therapy was getting there with working as a parent. The doctor's office that he goes to opened up their hours for parents who work certain times where they're located. They're there a little late. So for a parent like me that works a 9-to-4 job and the office at the clinic may close at normal hours is 5. They extend it to 6 where I would be me or any other patient that can come in that is coming in like me every 2 weeks can be the last patient if need be. That was mostly my concern. Of course, getting there, and this is a every 2 week thing, so I have to make it a part of my everyday schedule.
Yeah. What's your experience on a multidisciplinary team? For example, who monitors the inhalers? Did you have instructions or modifiable risk factors? Was that useful? What would you need differently, or what worked well?
Well, I can go by the experience from beginning to end. My son he pumps in the morning. That's one thing that he does. He does that in the morning. He has that at night. Because he's an active child in sports, he also has his emergency inhaler that he would take 30 minutes before he goes out in the field of anything that keeps him active. That way he's controlled. After that, he might have to take it again before his nightly dosage. He also have pills that a pill that he takes every night that helps with his allergies, and then he has his nasal spray as well, which all is a combination for his severe asthma because those help with his triggers. And on top of all of that, every 2 weeks he gets his injections. So what can be done? I think honestly, just having that parent patient doctor relationship helps a lot with everything that we have going for his severe asthma, because they're able to let me know exactly what is needed for him. I'm able to be frequently and free in my speaking with them and letting them know, you know, just being transparent as a parent. This is what Javen has going on. This is what he's doing. This is what we have going on as far as what's in the home. Everything from, you know, being around smoke, having animals in the area. So it's a lot with caring for the child and communicating with the doctors. But honestly, I don't think I have anything that I can say that can really change, because it's the parent. Here, the doctors actually listen and hear us out. It's up to the parent to actually be transparent, to let the doctors know, don't hold nothing out, because the doctor would not know. And also research. The parent has to research. You can't just say something and keep it with no details, and the doctor will not understand. I'm not going to say understand. They will have to go through so much just to figure out how to help your child, because every child is different when it comes down to even different type of inhalers.
Yeah, I think it's about remembering that every child is an individual. It's about that real thorough, complete, holistic, multidisciplinary assessment of every child and family, and really trying to get to know children and the families, trying to understand them so that we as healthcare professionals can understand what it is they know about their asthma and what it is that they want for the treatment of their child or for the child themselves. And one of the things that's advancing quite a lot now is directly observed therapy. And in the UK, one of the areas that we help with that is children, if we're concerned about their adherence, might have their therapy observed in schools, for example. Our schools are very engaged in that process, and we have good sort of shared care and care planning going on between schools and healthcare professionals to support families with that. And then also, you know, greater advances in technology are really helping us as well. And, you know, Monique's spoken about how difficult it can be to get to appointments. She's a busy working mom. But, you know, we're using much more remote options now, aren't we, for certainly monitoring and assessing patients. But also we can do directly observed therapy via remote video mechanisms as well. So I think, you know, for the future, those sorts of things are going to be used a lot more.
Yeah. So thank you very much. I think we had a nice discussion. I want to thank my faculty for joining. And I think we raised a good discussion about the family and how we can support that. And also the experience of you, Monique, is unique to be presented to us, and we can all together, we can work to improve this collaboration and this communication between family and the MDT group. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Touch podcast. You can access more content on this topic on Touch Immunology at www.touchimmunology.com. You can also view a second activity in this series on severe pediatric asthma, a Touch in Conversation on Touch Immunology.